message by Pastor Byron Brown was recorded at First Baptist Church in Lacombe, Louisiana. First Baptist exists to glorify God by declaring the life-changing message of Jesus and by discipling all people so that everyone can delight in God's supremacy over all things. It is our desire to adequately proclaim God's word so that believers will grow in Christ and unbelievers will be convicted for their need for Christ. We pray that you will be challenged and encouraged as you listen to this message from God's word. You can be seated, and as you're seated, let me encourage you to take your Bibles. Our primary text this morning is Ephesians 6, chapter 18. Ephesians 6, chapter 18. But as you get that marked, let me also encourage you to turn to Matthew 6. I want to wrap up the model prayer that we have studied over the past several weeks. If you are visiting with us, we are thankful that you are here. Just to bring you up to speed, I have been in a series for about 8 to 9 weeks to teach what the Bible tells us about prayer. It is an area that all of us need to grow in. I hope and pray, I really do, that through this series that you've been challenged in prayer. I pray that you've been encouraged in prayer. I pray that it has helped you to think through the way by which you pray. And I pray that would be the case even today as we talk about praying in the Spirit. But as I was studying, I wanted to go back due to a question that was asked me of Matthew 6 about a verse that I did not address. And you know my conviction in expository preaching is to preach through passages. And I want to make certain that you understand I'm not intentionally neglecting something here in Matthew 6. But I do want to point out something to you. If you would look at Matthew 6, we looked at the Lord's Prayer in verse 9 through verse 13. And at the end of verse 13, in some of your translations, it has a phrase that says something like this: "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Some of your translations, if you notice, may not have that at the end of verse 13. If it doesn't, it probably has a superscript, a number that's above the end of that last word, evil, for example. And if you look down at the bottom of your Bible, there will be a note down there that explains why it's not there. This is not an intentionality that the translators of this of the English Standard Version, which I preach from, neglected it. It's also not placed in the main text of many translations, and here's the reason why. It is not wrong to pray this, but in the earlier manuscripts that have been discovered, this phrase was not there in the earliest manuscripts possible that has been found. The translation, for example, that has that, most likely, many of you may still use the King James Version, it's written in there. Because at that time in 1611, which by the way, this is the 400-year anniversary of the King James Bible, 2011. I read a blog by a pastor. He said, well, it's 400 years old. I never preached from it, so I guess I will on the 400 years anniversary. So he's preaching through that this year in 2011. I'm not going to go back there. I grew up with it, and I appreciate it, valued it. A lot of the scriptures that I memorized are still King James Version, but we just don't talk that way these days, right? Thou, O Von, O Heavenly Father, thou art good and above all things. We just don't talk that way. Thank you, Pastor. Yes, amen. Now, if any of you ever listened to Alistair Begg, he's a pastor up in Ohio, a wonderful, godly man, great expositor, preacher of the word, and he still kind of has that because that's just his, he's from Ireland, I believe, and he is has this accent that he preaches that way. But what my point is to say this, I just want you to understand my conviction to explain the word to you. It's not wrong that it's out, it's not wrong that it's in. It's just an aspect of praying. It's kind of a benediction, a closing aspects of this Lord's Prayer. Remember, the Lord's Prayer is to teach us how to pray. And so at the end, if it's "for thine is the power and the kingdom and the glory forever, amen," it's really just restating what's already said earlier in the Lord's Prayer, because we've said we're praying for your kingdom to come, your will be done. So we're praying for his kingdom. And to pray that he's hallowed above all things and to say our Father who is in heaven, then in essence, if you were to add that tag, "for thine is the power and the kingdom and the glory forever, amen," it's okay. Okay, I don't want you to feel like you're being heretical. I don't want you to feel like that your Bible is wrong if it's absent from that. Well, with that said, I just want to make sure that you understand that it was not an intentional neglect on my part to miss and avoid that piece of Scripture. Well, that said, let's look now to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, where our emphasis today is praying in the Spirit. We have looked over several weeks specifically at the Lord's Prayer and a couple of weeks in regards to defining what prayer is. I defined for you at the very beginning of this series that prayer is a personal communication with a holy and righteous God. That we have the great privilege as believers to commune and discuss and converse with the God of the universe, the very everlasting God that we've just sung about this morning. It's a personal communication. The way it becomes personal is through Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We look at the Lord's Prayer because it's in two passages of Scripture to show us two different times, two occasions when Jesus is teaching and asked about prayer. It's there, so it's a way by which we learn the way to pray. Now we get to this passage in Ephesians 6:18, talking about praying in the Spirit. It's the manner by which all prayer should be done. It's the attitude. It is the way by which our mental state needs to be and our spiritual state needs to be in our praying. As I was preparing for this whole series, as I've laid out several other passages I think it's necessary for us to look at to help us learn what it means to pray, this is one of those. And actually, my next in line to preach through was actually back in Matthew 6 on fasting, which is actually tied to prayer right after the Lord's Prayer. But the Lord wouldn't let me do that. I just tried to study that this week, and He kept directing my attention to praying in the Spirit. And so that's why we're here in Ephesians 6, and we will go back to Matthew 6 in a week or two. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? I know for some of you, I know when I was growing up and reading this passage of Scripture, my mind would go to two things. One, thinking of some kind of supernatural trance that I was going to be in, praying in the Spirit, some super state, if you will. Secondly, I also thought that this meant, well, praying in the Spirit and conversations that I'd have with other friends of mine, that you had to be praying in the Spirit, and they would equate that praying and speaking in tongues. Neither one of those is right. That's neither one of what Paul is talking about here, to be praying in the Spirit. So I want to take this text and I'm going to ask four questions of it. So if you have your notes, you're going to take notes. Let me give you these questions first. Give some space in between each one and then we'll address each one this morning as we go through this passage of Scripture. Asking questions, it's right here in the text. Not giving any questions, it's not there. First of all, I want to ask the question, who can pray in the Spirit? Who can do this? It's important to understand because I don't want to teach this and then you'd be walking out of here assuming that everybody can pray in the Spirit. Because let me tell you, not everyone can pray in the Spirit. Secondly, what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? We're going to walk through the defining of that actual meaning. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Then thirdly, how do we pray in the Spirit? Making that very practical. And last, I want to ask the question, why is it important to pray in the Spirit? Because I could teach you all these things and you can say, so what? And it's important that you understand why it is essential to pray in the Spirit. Well, let's take these questions. We have a lot of ground to cover this morning, so I pray that you keep your Bible, keep your notes open, take things down. Let me just say this here at the beginning. If at any time you have questions of what I am preaching on Sunday morning, write those down. Ask me afterwards. Send me an email. Don't let it just eat at you, whether it's a question of inquisitiveness or a question of that you may disagree, whatever it may be, let's talk through that and make sure that we understand the Word of God. Well, let me give you the context here. I preached through this passage of Scripture about 2 years ago when I was preaching through the book of Ephesians. And in the context that it is given here, it is when Paul is teaching believers how to live and have armor for spiritual warfare. Whether you agree or not, I want you to understand that if you are a believer in Christ, whether you recognize it or not, you are in spiritual battle every day. There's spiritual warfare that takes place around you every day. The temptations that come your way, that's spiritual battles. Everything that we have around us is spiritual warfare. Even now, while we're in this room, spiritual battle is raging. Because Satan doesn't want the Word to be proclaimed. He doesn't want you to understand what it means about praying in the Spirit. So you're thinking about lunch. You're thinking about the game this afternoon. You're thinking about the AFC Championship and the NFC Championship. That doesn't matter. Stand before the Lord. It's not going to matter. Okay? Schedule your DVR, whatever it may be, next time. But too late today if you didn't do that, okay? We're in the Word. Well, what I want you to understand in this passage of Scripture, I want to start here to help you understand who can do this. The first thing. So let's look at this passage of Scripture. Let's read the text together first. I think for the purpose of context, let's begin at verse 10 so that we can understand fully what Paul is addressing here. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through verse 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. The verb stand there is what orders this whole passage. Standing. Stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers, over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So where is our battle? In the physical? No, in the spiritual. That's a key to help you understand when we get to praying in the Spirit, okay? Our battles are spiritual. Verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And here he is, verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Who can do this? Who can pray in the Spirit? We're not going to spend a lot of time here, but I want to tell you, first and foremost, those who can pray in the Spirit are those who are born again, those who are saved. If you're outside of Christ, you've not been born again, it's not possible for you to pray in the Spirit because you don't have the Holy Spirit in your life. So what I'm saying to you is this, as a believer, you have the ability to pray in the Spirit. That doesn't mean that every time you're praying that you are praying in the Spirit. That's why he's telling them to pray in the Spirit. So it implies that there's times that you may not be praying in the Spirit. And that's not necessarily acceptable prayer. We're going to talk about how to get to that point that we're praying in the Spirit. So how do we know that? How do we conclude from this passage of Scripture that he's talking to believers? We'll look back at chapter 1. Just a interpretation principle to give all of you. When you're looking at a passage of Scripture, first of all, ask the question, who's the author? Who's writing it? If there's a key within its own book that he has written to give you an interpretation to understand that, that's where you start. If it's not there, go to other books that author has written. See what he said there. If it's not there, then look in the New Testament to see if it's addressed as well. That's the order that you go. You don't jump from a different author and a different book just to be looking at it. You look there, analyze the book. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and verse 14, Paul addresses the Spirit of God. And he addresses it in regards to who has the Holy Spirit. Verse 13 of Ephesians 1, in Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. Notice verse 14. Notice the pronoun that Paul uses there. Who is the guarantee of whose inheritance? Our inheritance. Paul's including those believers now because the way by which they receive the Spirit of God is clarified in verse 13. They heard the word of salvation and then they believed in the gospel, and at that same moment they were sealed, given the God's seal, if you will, to say to them, this is my child, they are part of my kingdom, and they're given the Holy Spirit. And it's a guarantee, he says. So it's not given, you're not given the Spirit and he takes it away. Give you the Spirit and takes it away. This is completely contrary to those who would advocate that you can get the Spirit and then lose your salvation. Paul says to us, if you truly have the Spirit of God, you have a guarantee and it is placed upon you for all eternity. So when we talk about praying in the Spirit and we're saying who can do this, first and foremost, I want to say to you, if you're here and you have placed faith in Christ, you've heard the gospel and you've believed the gospel, then you have been given the Holy Spirit. That is the foundation for this. And let me say this to you as an application point. Some of you have heard the gospel and you've heard the truth, but have yet to move to that point to place faith in the gospel. Maybe today, even this morning, as I prayed with men, we prayed for you. If you're here this morning and you've not yet believed in, placed faith in, I'm praying today that God gives you that faith to even believe in the gospel today, and that the Holy Spirit, who may not dwell in you now, will dwell in you. As a believer, if you have the Spirit of God, you are able to pray in the Spirit. Now, I've heard conversations where people would say, well, you get saved and then later you get the Holy Spirit, and the evidence of getting that is that you're going to speak in tongues. I've had that conversation. Listen, I dated a girl in high school, was going to get married to her. Praise God that God protected me from that, gave me a godly wife. I pray for her, Lord, that she would be good and focused on you. But listen, but for me, she was in this kind of circle whereby which she was talking about speaking in tongues, etc. And so I've been again to buy this and thinking, man, I must not have the Spirit of God. I'm not speaking in tongues. So I'd lay in bed and I'd say, Lord, give it to me, give it to me, give it to me. And nothing happened. And so I didn't get that particular gift that was laid out in Scripture. And so what I want you to understand is that's not what's being addressed here. And some would say, well, then you don't have the Holy Spirit. Well, I would beg to differ based on this passage of Scripture, Romans chapter 8, verse 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Notice this. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. So Paul says to us, you can't be saved and not have the Spirit of God. If you say you're saved and don't have the Spirit of God, you're not saved. So you take that teaching and then you look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, and it says, praying in the Spirit. He is saying the only ones who can do this are those who've been born again and the Spirit indwells you. Now, saying that, I want to also say to you that it is based from the beginning of this series, I clarified to you, is that God is obligated and listens to and hears the prayers of the righteous. Now, I said to you that God does hear the prayers of the unbelievers in a general sense because God is omnipresent. He is all places. He's here with us now. So if there are unbelievers even in our midst, and an unbeliever is praying, God hears that because He's God. But He's not obligated to answer that because that person is not a child of God. If God does answer the prayer of an unbeliever, if you remember, it is out of His good grace. It is choosing His favor at that moment to bring about something. But that's not the norm that's in the Scripture. We see the norm is that God answers the prayers of believers. Let me give you a passage of Scripture to prove this point. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 29 says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayers of who? The righteous. That's black and white. There is no gray in that passage of Scripture at all. So we take that back to our question and clarifying just to end that point. Who can pray in the Spirit? Those who are born again have the Spirit of God. So to clarify, believers have the ability to pray in the Spirit, but it doesn't mean that we always are. So what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Well, I'm going to give you the answer, and then I want to dissect it. We're going to spend a little time here. Two answers that I believe, two ways I think this is understood. Number one, to pray in the Spirit means that our lives and our prayers must be aligned with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Number two, to pray in the Spirit means that we pray in the power and sphere of the Holy Spirit. Well, let's take the first one and let's understand it. How do we get this point to say that praying in the Spirit means that we must align our prayers and our lives with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit? What's right here in the passage. Look back at Ephesians 6, verse 17. One of the pieces of armor that he tells us as believers that we are to take is the sword of the Spirit. Look at verse 17, Ephesians 6. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then right after that, he says to us in verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit. So if we're going to pray in the Spirit, and he's just got through saying that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, then guess what you've got to do? You've got to put those two together. It would make no sense for us to bring some other definition other than what's right here in this passage of Scripture. So it would say to us that my praying, if I'm going to pray in the Spirit, means that I must be aligned with what the Word of God says. And my life must be aligned with the Holy Spirit. And that's kind of saying the same thing, because the Holy Spirit has enabled men to write the Word of God, inspired by the Word of God. He lives in me. And so my life must be aligned with that. And the Holy Spirit is that Spirit of truth. So my praying must be in alignment with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit in order for me to pray in the Spirit. That is a filter for thinking through what you're praying for. So if you're thinking, can this be God's will? Is it not God's will? Look at the Word. For example, I heard someone once before say, well, I am praying. This is a person who's married, okay? I'm praying for this other person to marry me because God told me so. Is there anywhere in the Word of God that would say that? They're not praying anywhere near praying in the Spirit. They're listening to some other spirit, but not the Spirit of God. Now, that's an extreme case, but if you just take small measures and small examples of your life, the best thing that you can do is filter it through the Word of God and thereby then letting you be guided of how to pray for. Is it right to pray for people who are lost to be saved? Absolutely. Because the Word tells us, is it absolutely right to pray that your marriage is healthy and holy and vibrant and brings a reflection of Christ? Absolutely. It's according to the Word of God. So you're praying in the Spirit. Okay? So it's not that you fall down on your face, you're in some kind of trance, you don't remember what you've done. That's not praying in the Spirit. And you get up and say, I don't know what happened, but I was in the Spirit. And we use that phrase kind of in a cliche way, don't we? You know what? Man, that brother, he was in the Spirit on Sunday mornings. We've all said that phrase before. Well, maybe not all of us. I know I grew up hearing that phrase. You know, the way that it was described where I grew up. See, I grew up where preachers sweat and they stomped and they jumped and they leaped over pews. I'm not kidding you. We had one preacher who would get up on the pew and, man, he was jumping up and down. And we would leave on Sunday morning and say, man, he was in the Spirit. I'm not kidding. I'm not exaggerating, all right? That's what I grew up. So I don't jump. I don't leap. I don't jump over pews. I don't jump over pulpits anymore. But I never forget I remember when I was going to school and my grandfather, you know, just old school, love him to death. He was saved when he was older in life. And, you know, his definition of someone who's preaching as if they're sweating and wiping their brow. And, man, he's in the Spirit. I'm like, well, I guess I'm not in the Spirit, Papa. So I'd use that comically to say that that's sometimes the way we think about praying. Is that we've got to be in this other state than being in a normal state, having the mind of God. That is praying in the Spirit. I love what Charles Stanley says. It's not a matter how high you jump, it's what your feet does when they hit the ground is what is important. So to pray in the Spirit means that we must make sure our praying and our lives are in alignment with the Word. Now, why do I distinguish between those two? You can pray things that are in alignment with the Word, but if your life is not aligned with the Word, then your prayers are hindered, and you're not praying in the Spirit. You can go back in the series and listen to the two sermons I preached on as far as what hinders us in our praying. So it's important that if we're praying the Word of God, the chances are that if you're even reading the Word, you're going to be convicted of those things. But it is possible that you can be living in such a way completely contrary and trying to pray the Word, and even in that moment, you're not in the Spirit praying because your life is not matched up with the Spirit of God. Let me show this to you, that the Word and the Spirit of God are connected. Look with me to the book of John, chapter 16. I want you to see how Jesus describes and defines for us the Holy Spirit and as it relates to the Bible. John, chapter 16, verse 13. John chapter 16, verse 13. This is the promise that Jesus is giving to the disciples and to us when he was about to leave, that who was going to take care of them? Who was going to guide them? Who was going to teach them? John chapter 16, verse 12. Let's begin there. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of what? Truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. So let me say this to you. This is a sidebar. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to bring glory to who? To Christ. So when the Holy Spirit is in you, as we've read in Ephesians 1, the purpose of the Holy Spirit in you is to teach you, but ultimately so that your life brings glory to Christ. Okay? So if we're praying in the Spirit, then our praying is also going to be done in such a way that it brings glory to God. It all goes back to the Lord's Prayer, does it not? Your kingdom come. Let your name be hallowed. It all's connected. But how does this connect to the Word of God? Look at me now to John 17 and verse 17. Here is what is called the high priestly prayer, what is probably labeled above your chapter there. It's when Jesus was praying for His disciples then, for those to come, and for us. But notice what He says in regards to the truth. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Okay, now put the two together. How does that connect to chapter 16, verse 13? Because verse 13 in chapter 16 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, and He's going to do what? He's going to guide us into all the truth. And the Word, He says, is the truth that sanctifies us. So the Spirit of God who's enabled this Word to be, it is empowered by the Spirit, the Spirit illumines us. And so it is a way by which we can say to pray in the Spirit means I'm aligning myself with the Word of God and with the Holy Spirit. That's the first way, what it means to pray in the Spirit. Second thing I would say to you, to pray in the Spirit means that we pray in the power and the sphere of the Holy Spirit. Let me just give you a passage of Scripture. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts 1, verse 8. Well, let's look at that one because it's pretty foundational. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Here, Jesus is about, to leave. And His disciples are asking Him in regards to the kingdom. They're wanting a literal kingdom to come down. And then Jesus tells them, gives them a commission and a charge in verse 8. But you will receive what? Power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So the Holy Spirit who's in us is our empowerment to live for Christ. We don't live in our own power. If we do, we're prone to fail. We're destined to fail. So He's saying to us to pray in the Spirit also is not just praying according to the Word of God, but we're praying with the power of the Spirit. Now, why is that important? Look back at chapter 6 of Ephesians, and I addressed this implicitly there earlier on, back in verse 12. Notice what He says. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers, over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. You can't conquer and win in that type of battle if you're in the flesh. It's important that your prayer is in the power of the Spirit of God. So if you're walking in the flesh, then your praying is not going to be in the Spirit and therefore lacking the power of the Spirit. Let me show you. Go back to Galatians, a book right before Ephesians. And you will see this contrast. Paul doesn't use the phrase in the Spirit, but he does make a contrast between walking by the Spirit and walking in the flesh. And I want you to see what he's saying. Remember what I told you earlier? We've started Ephesians. We've looked at Ephesians where Paul was writing it. Now we're going to a second book that's written by Paul. So now we're going to see how he uses this term of the Spirit of God as it relates to our lives. And let's see what he says. Galatians 5, verse 16. But I say, walk by what? The Spirit. And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So he's saying we must be walking by the Spirit. If we're not walking by the Spirit, then what are we prone to do? Gratify what? The desires of the flesh. So if we're not praying in the Spirit, if we're not walking in the Spirit, then guess what? Your praying is not going to be in the Spirit. So be walking in the Spirit means that we are in the sphere of the Spirit. That He's literally in control over all of our lives, all that we're doing. You go through and you take the time later. Don't do it now, but read through all the rest of that paragraph. And he talks about our lives, of how that we are to live. We're not supposed to be walking in anger and frustration and bitterness and envy, but to have love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. And we're walking in the Spirit. And thereby, when we're doing that, we're praying in the Spirit, and we're praying in His power and in the sphere of the Spirit. Literally, to be praying in the Spirit means that the Spirit of God is over all of our lives, in control of our lives, and everything that we're doing. We are governed by the Spirit of God. He's over us. So to say that we're praying in the Spirit literally means that I am praying in a mindset that is not governed by my flesh. Does that make sense to you? So we're saying, I don't want my flesh to be in control of my praying. That's why, if you look at Galatians 5, verse 24, you say, but Pastor, I'm struggling. What do I need to do with these things in the flesh? Well, Paul's very clear what we're supposed to do. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have, say it with me, crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You know what you do with those fleshly desires? You have to kill them. If you know it's a struggle for you, don't put yourself near those struggles. Don't put yourself near that temptation. Remember what we looked at last week? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us not into the sphere and the power and the hands of those temptations. Why? For this purpose. So you can pray in the Spirit. Could it be that maybe our prayers are not answered because we're not in the Spirit? You may have the Spirit of God in you, but you may not be living by Him. Listen, you can't live that way very long, because the Spirit of God in you is to bring glory to Christ, and He's not going to let you stay in that state of not bringing Him glory. So to pray in the Spirit means that we must pray aligned with the Word of God and under the Holy Spirit and in the power and the sphere of the Holy Spirit. When you look back at Ephesians chapter 6, we don't have time to go through all this passage of Scripture, but take the time, make a side note, look at all those pieces of armor. And notice that praying is at the end, because He's telling us this is what fuels and governs and helps us in that armor. I came across a Puritan. A Puritan was a pastor who lived back in England when the government was in control of the church, and a Puritan by their name wanted to purify the church. They wanted the church to return back to its biblical roots. I feel like I identify with the Puritan. I feel like that's what I am set to do in the 21st century, wanting the church to be biblical and holy and right and healthy. So I guess you could call me a 21st century Puritan / reformer preacher, whatever you want to title me as. But here's what the William Gurnall says about the armor and prayer. The Christian's armor will rust, except it be furbished and scoured with the oil of prayer. Think of that for a moment. You know what scoured means? You ever scoured a dish? Has anybody washed dishes in the house? Gracious, I talked to a man recently. He says, I've never washed a toilet in my life. Brother, I don't know where you've been. I was a dishwasher. I've done lots of different things, but I was a dishwasher at a restaurant when I was in high school, and I had to scour those dishes at hot temperature, burning my hands and rubbing that stuff off those dishes. And what he's saying here is that this armor literally must be scoured. Every aspect of it must be covered in prayer. You look at it, the belt of truth with prayer, breastplate of righteousness with prayer, every aspect. So what am I saying? To be praying in the Spirit, in this sphere of the Holy Spirit, means literally I am scouring everything in my life by the Holy Spirit. Everything. So we know what it is, and we know who can do it. Now, how do we do it? Well, Paul actually makes it very easy for us in this passage of Scripture. He tells us four ways that we can pray in the Spirit. Look with me, if you would, there at verse 18 and verse 18. I don't know if you noticed when we were reading this. You may have noticed this if you were with us when I was preaching to the book of Ephesians, because I pointed this out to you. And if you don't remember it, don't have it marked, I'm going to encourage you to do it now. There is a word, A-L-L, all, that is mentioned four times after he has talked about praying in the Spirit. It's a way by which he tells us to pray in the Spirit. Look at it with me, verse 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Those are four ways that he's telling us how do we pray in the Spirit. I want to walk through those pretty quickly, and I'm going to give a term to each one of those and what we are to do. Number one, to pray in the Spirit at all times implies our frequency. Frequency. To be praying in the Spirit doesn't mean that we just get together on Sunday mornings and be in the mind of Christ and only pray in the Spirit then. So he says to be praying in the Spirit at all times. All times. And so we understand that it means here that we are to be doing this at all times. Lord, it doesn't need much explanation here. It just means everything that you're doing. When you're waking up, when you're driving, when you're working, when you're praying with your family, whatever it is that we're praying at all times in the Spirit. So that means all that we've just described of what it is to pray in the Spirit is going to take work for us to get to this point. If we're to be praying in the Spirit means to be governed by the Word of God, then guess what? If reading the Word of God is only done by you on Sunday morning, it's going to be very hard for you to pray in the Spirit. If we're praying in the Spirit where the Spirit of God, where our lives are aligned with that, then we need to be in the Word so the Spirit of God can teach us and convict us. And so to be praying in the Spirit at all times means that we've got to work to make sure that we are aligned with the Word of God. Now, I want to just give you a couple of passages of Scripture to prove to you and show you that this is all over the New Testament. This frequent aspect of praying. Let me just give you a few. Luke chapter 21, excuse me, verse 36. Jesus says, watch and pray always. Acts chapter 6, verse 4. Paul said, we will give ourselves continually to prayer. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Colossians 4, 2. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And lastly, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Now, if you take that literally to stand to say pray without ceasing, that means you couldn't converse with anybody because you're only praying to God. But he means, and all these passages mean, that our lives are governed by praying. You can't live without breathing. Spiritually, we can't live without praying. We need prayer. That's why I long to see us take some steps as a church to be more intentional in our praying corporately, prayerfully, individually, in our rooms, our small groups, Sunday morning gathering times, and Wednesday nights. Because we need to be intentional and we need to be frequent. What else does it mean here in regards to praying in the Spirit? Let me give you a quote here by what MacArthur says here about this aspect of at all times and frequency. He says, when we're talking about praying in the Spirit, we're talking about a consciousness of God's presence at all times that leave my heart open fully to Him. To be so God-conscious is that you see and experience everything with reference to Him. It's like you've got God-conscious sunglasses on, if you will. That everything that you're doing is filtered through that way. So that means that everything that you're doing when you're going somewhere, talking to someone, going to someone's house to eat, you're praying, God, may I be a pleasing sacrifice to you. May I be an encouragement to this person. May I make this decision that's right. May I talk of this person in a way that brings you glory. Everything, everything. Frequency. Secondly, to be praying in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication is the next way that he tells us how to pray. And this is talking about variety. Your prayers are not always the same, are they? Now look at the passage of Scripture again. Look there at verse 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Now I wrestled with this passage of Scripture when I first studied this. Because supplication is prayer. So I thought, well, wait a minute, is Paul being redundant here? But actually, it implies variety. Why? Because prayer is the term that's used here in the New Testament to refer to general prayer. Just prayer in general. For example, when you're having prayer at church, when you're in your car, when you're at the dinner table, when you're at a Bible study, when you're standing and talking to somebody, praying with them, prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of praise, prayers of question, prayers sitting, whether you're kneeling, lying down, praying, saying, pray always in this way. But then he gives the next way of supplication. Supplication is a type of prayer, but it's referring to a specific type of prayer, and that being petition, asking God for something. That's where we struggle of praying in the Spirit. Because when we're asking God for something for us, what dictates that praying? Our wants. So I think Paul is right here to specify that when we're praying for people and et cetera, it's easy for us to pray for them according to God. But when it comes to us, we want what we want. God, I really want that job. I want that house. I want this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Because we think it's what's best for us. And so Paul tells us to make certain that in our ways that we're praying, even for ourselves, is in the Spirit. Third, how to pray in the Spirit is to pray with alertness and all perseverance, he tells us in this passage of Scripture, and that's intentionality. Look at the Scripture again there in verse 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance. Now, why would he say that we have to be alert in our praying? Now, remember the imagery that Paul is using here is armor, spiritual armor. So he's actually taking this imagery of a soldier. And so he now translates that into our praying with alertness. Soldiers, military personnel, if you're on the battlefield, have to be alert at all times. You never know when the enemy's going to crouch. And so that's why that someone's always on the battlefield while someone's in the bunk sleeping. Because there's alertness, there's necessity to be alert because you never know when the enemy may come. Could that also be the way that we need to be in our prayer life? Always, he's saying, to be alert with all perseverance. Be intentional to say, I'm going to be prayerful. Listen, sometimes you have to make yourself pray. Sometimes you don't feel like praying, right? Sometimes we wake up, you're tired, you're ready to go to bed, and so, but you need to understand that it is a way by which that we commune with God, and so we have to be alert, because if we begin to slouch, we begin to slumber, we become prone to the enemy. That's why it says be alert. Always be alert. And we'll make a connection here in talking about how we pray together as a body of believers, because sometimes you need other people to be praying for you. But let me clarify to you what perseverance means here. The word here, perseverance, in the Greek, literally translated, means intensive commitment. Now you take that in the Scripture and you read that. To that end, keep alert with all intensive commitment. This means we're not passive in our praying. You may come for these 8 weeks and hear exposition on praying, but if you're not intentional to do it, it's simply been content for you. You have to take it and do it and live it and be it. Listen, to be intentional, let me tell you how I'm trying to be intentional. I have a prayer book that I have in my bag. I take with me everywhere I go. This can be a way by which to help you in your intentionality in praying. I have people and ministries that I pray for day by day. So I know on Monday what I'm praying for. I know on Tuesday what I'm praying for. I know Wednesday what I'm praying for, all the way through Saturday. Sunday morning, I don't have anything in my prayer journal except to pray for you and this service and Bible studies and prayer leaders and teachers. That's what I'm praying for. But I'm trying to be intentional in my praying. Why? Because very easily I could be susceptible, even on Sunday morning, to get caught up in the business. If you have to get kids ready for church, it's amazing to me that the one day of the week that my kids want to sleep late is what morning? I'm not lying. They're up at 6:45 or 7 o'clock all the other days, but on Sunday morning, I just want to sleep more, Daddy. I have fun with that, you know. I take Benjamin, throw him on the bed, and let him tickle him and wake him up. And, of course, they're fighting, they're fussing. But isn't it amazing that we can get busy, and then we're trying to get busy. We've got to be here a certain time for praising. And we can get all the busyness, and I've neglected intentionality. So guess what I have to do? I have to get up much earlier so I can be in the mind and the Spirit of God to pray. alert and intentionality. We must do that. What keeps us from being intentional and persevering in prayer? I tell you one thing is busyness that I've just mentioned. Secondly, is sin. You have sin in your life, that's going to keep you from being intentional. Because if you're holding on to that, you know that God is not pleased with that. And so you know if you've got to go to God in prayer, you've got to confess that. You've got to repent of that. Another one that keeps us from that is just laziness. Pure sluggards. We have all excuses in the books when it comes to praying. I'm just too busy. I just got a lot going on. Lazy. I think another thing that keeps us from being intentional is when we have seemingly unanswered prayers. Well, I've prayed already, Pastor, and nothing happens. Could it be that the unanswered prayer is God's sovereign plan to make you intentionally dependent on Him? Could it be the unanswered prayer is, first of all, a check system for you to find out where you are spiritually? Could it be that the unanswered prayer is God's perfect will? And it doesn't need to be answered. But even in that, we must persevere. Or how else do we pray? In the Spirit. He tells us right here at the end of verse 18, and making supplication for all the saints. Now here's what's good, church. To pray in the Spirit, it's not all about you. To be praying in the Spirit means that I'm also mindful of the needs of my brothers and sisters in Christ. So that when I'm praying, I'm thinking about the people I've counseled this week. I'm thinking about the people that I have talked to on the phone. I'm thinking about people that I've conversed with at the church or that I've seen out in the market, whatever it may be. And so at that time, he says, I need to be praying in the Spirit for people. You know what makes us less selfish is pray for others. Think about their issues they're going through. Think about their struggles and their hurts and their wants. And then yours seems to pale in comparison to those things. So he tells us to pray for all the saints. Now I'll put it in context here. Why is it necessary to pray for all the saints? This is in the context of spiritual warfare. So guess what? You need to be praying in the Spirit for yourself because of spiritual warfare, but also for the body of believers. Because you're not the only one who's being engaged by the enemy. It may mean that you are aware of what's going on, but it also may mean that you don't know, but simply praying for them. That's why I shared with you last week at the end of the Lord's Prayer, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That fits this perfectly. We're praying for all the saints. We don't get to pick, I'm praying for this one small group. You're praying for the body at large. To do what? To be in the Spirit, to be in the Word, and to stand firm against the enemy. And to bring glory to Christ. Let me give you a biblical illustration of this. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. Paul writes to them, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you. Always struggling on your behalf in his prayers that you may do what? Stand fully assured in the will of God. Woo! Wouldn't that be great that someone say that about you when you pass in this life? They would say, that brother, that sister was earnestly in prayer for me and for the church and for the glory of God. Why? So we would do the will of God. Could it be that some people are struggling because we're not praying enough? Yes, we need to be on our knees and be people of prayer. Well, let me give you the last question. Because I know some of you are saying, okay, I know what it is, I know who does it, I know how to do it, but why is this important? Why do we need to pray in the Spirit? The first one I have implied to you and said to you already, it is to be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. That's the immediate application from this passage of Scripture. That's why we need to pray in the Spirit. Because the spiritual attacks are spiritual. Not just physical, although we may point at people and say, man, that person's attacking me, whatever it may be. But listen, ultimately, our battles are from the enemy, not from people. When divisions have happened in churches before, it's not because of people. It's because of Satan. Struggles in marriages, struggles in families, it's not just because of people, it's because of Satan. He's behind those things. So I want to say to you, make sure that we're praying so we can stand against the schemes of the devil. Secondly, why do we pray in the Spirit? To keep ourselves in the love of God. Now let me just clarify to you. I am not just randomly stating ways of why it's important. The way I've reached this conclusion is because this is the only two times in the New Testament that this phrase, praying in the Spirit, is used. In Ephesians 6 and Jude. So what does Jude say to us? Look at Jude with me. It's toward the end of your Bible, right before the book of Revelation. I love the book of Jude. Now that's not chapter 20 and chapter 21. Jude's just one chapter. It's just one book. Powerful book. But I want you to see what he says about keeping ourselves in the love of God. And I'm going to clarify this to you. Jude was actually one of the very first books I preached through when I came here. Does anybody remember that? No? Oh, goodness. Yeah. I'll be next on the list, I guess. Either it was too long ago or I just did a poor job. Or you weren't here. Okay, that's good. No, that's not. I'm glad you're here now. Jude 20 and 21. I want you to notice what Paul says here. And I'm going to do some exposition in this passage of Scripture because I want you to see what he says about praying in the Spirit. But you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Now, this is a sermon in itself, but I'm going to be concise as I possibly can. Verse 21 is where you need to start to understand what he's talking about praying in the Spirit. The word keep is the verb that governs verse 20 and 21. Keep yourselves is the verb. Build is not a verb. Pray is not a verb. Waiting is not a verb. Build in verse 20. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. And verse 21, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those are all participles. Those participles, if you remember my illustration before, hang on the verb keep. So keep is what we're to be doing. And these participles are the means or the manner how we're keeping ourselves. First of all, he tells us to build ourselves up in your most holy faith. That you must be growing in the Word and the doctrine and the teachings of the Scripture of God. Growing in the Word. Keeping yourself. Because when you're wanting to veer off of God's love and veer off of His path, the Word of God keeps you focused. I've shared to you what John Piper's father wrote in his Bible. He said, this book will keep you from sin. Or sin will keep you from this book. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith. The last one, he says, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. How does that keep us in the love of God? Because your perspective is in regards to Christ's coming. You realize, ultimately, all of our faith and theology hinges on Christ's coming. So we're waiting. So if I'm waiting and I know that Christ is coming, then I need to be living in such a way that's honorable when He returns. If I'm not concerned about that, then I'm not keeping myself in the love of God. Thirdly, and these are so simplistic in the explanation, but praying in the Holy Spirit keeps us in the love of God. Now, if you take our definition that we gave earlier, it means to be aligned with the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and that we're praying in the power and the sphere of the Holy Spirit, literally meaning that we're praying in such a way the Holy Spirit is over us all the time, we're keeping ourselves in the love of God. Is anybody in the room prone to wonder at times? Yes. Every one of us, if you're not, you're stone. So I need to keep myself in the love of God. Now to clarify to you, for some of you who are running in your mind, say, wait a minute, does that mean that I could be out of God's love and I could be lost in my salvation? That's not what Jude is saying. Why? Look at the beginning of the book. Powerful book. Verse 1. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and, say it with me, kept for Jesus Christ. Guess what, believer? That's good news for you and me. He's keeping us. It's divine sovereignty and human responsibility together. Listen, I'm reformed in my theology. Some of you know what that is. Some of you don't. That's okay. But what I want to say to you this is, when people argue it's all God, not man, listen, it's both in Scripture. But God is the one who enables and does all of it. But what I want to say to you right here in this little book of Jude is that when we are saved, according to John 10:28, we are in the hands of Christ, in the hands of God, and no one can snatch us out of His hand. We're kept by God. But my responsibility is to be praying in the Spirit, building myself up in the Word, and waiting for His coming so that I can be kept in His love. Let's illustrate it this way. Sometimes I'm holding my child's hand walking down the road, and they want to let go. I know it's best to hold tighter, even if they're pulling that. They're kept in my hand because I see the truck coming. But then they finally realize, and the grasp clenches, and it's a good clenching. I haven't let go, but they are now keeping themselves in my hand. Are you with me? As believers, we are kept by God. And sometimes we try to wiggle our hand out of His keeping. Yes, Lord. But the way by which our grasp tightens is to be building ourselves up in the Word. That's why I'm committed to biblical exposition, because that builds you up, not fluffing you up. Simply making you feel good all the time. Sometimes preaching makes us feel rotten, because the Word of God convicts. Being kept, praying in the Spirit. Believer, why it is important to pray in the Spirit? Because if we go back to Ephesians 6 and we understand that we're to be praying for all the saints, it's so that they too can not just stand against the enemy, but they too can be kept in the love of God. I believe every one of us in this room need much work in this way of praying. Much work. And praying in the Spirit. So what do we do with this? I mean, how do we practically take this message and this passage of Scripture and put it to our lives when we leave this room this morning? First and foremost, I think it is a renewed commitment or a first-time commitment to making certain you are in the Word of God as a believer. Not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday. So the Spirit of God who inspired it can illumine and teach you every day. Secondly, you need to make certain that your praying is in alignment with the Word and that you're walking in the Spirit. Secondly, is to make certain that however you're praying, in the variety of ways of praying, are governed by the Spirit. Third, to be intentional. It's not going to happen unless you begin to do it. You say, well, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to do. Listen, set a time and talk to your dad. Talk to your father, the Redeemer, the one who saved you, and begin to be intentional and take the Word of God. If you don't know anything else to pray, take the Word of God and pray it. Just take this. God, build me up in your most holy faith. God, help me to pray in the Spirit and keep me in your love and help me to wait for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ and not wait on a job, not wait on these things, but waiting for you. And then fourthly, be mindful of others. Praying for the body and not for yourself all the time. I believe if we will pray in this way, we will find much satisfaction, much joy in our way of praying, and not just self-centered, unanswered, frustrated prayer. The last application I would make is this. You may be here this morning, and through this you have been convicted by the Spirit of God to realize that you don't have the Spirit of God in you. And today, God through the Holy Spirit may be drawing you to salvation. I'll end where we begin. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. You have heard the gospel. Today may be a day that you repent and believe the gospel. That will set you on the path of being controlled by the Spirit of Christ. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, it is to you that we ask of you now, to you who live in us. We need much help to pray in the Spirit. Show us where we are praying in the flesh and according to our will and not your own. Move in us. Empower us to see the way that your word in Ephesians 6 teaches how we are to pray at all times, in all prayers, with alertness and perseverance and for all the saints. God, help us as a body to do that. Help us to adjust schedules and move things around in our lives so that we can be prayerful. But God, let us not just be prayerful, let us be prayerful in the Spirit of God. God, I do pray if there are those in this room who do not have the Spirit of God in them. Oh God, would today be the day, according to Ephesians 2, that you would awaken them out of their spiritual death and save them. Oh God, I pray in this room. I know many people struggle with prayer life. Maybe struggle with frustration because they feel like that you're not there. Oh God, you know the hearts of your people. But God, I would pray that you would encourage your people today to know that you've given us the very manner to be able to pray, and that is through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And so God, I just pray today in this moment that if there's things that we need to change in our lives, that you would show people that. There's commitments that people need to make, that you would empower them to do so. And if salvation is to come, then God, you're the author. We pray it would be so. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we stand and as we sing, you may need to come and have people to pray for you. You may need to sit. You may need to kneel. Make this time a matter of prayer between you and the Lord. Let's stand and let's sing.
Thank you for listening to this message by Byron Brown, Senior Pastor at First Baptist Church in Lacombe, Louisiana. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for these copies without permission. We invite you to visit our church website at www.fbclacombe.org. That's FBCLACOMBE.org. You can find information about our church there, or you can call our church office at 985-882-5682. Thank you for listening.